morning. We do have the choice cleanings calendars for you outside there in the foyer. Make sure if you care for one, you can get one free per family. And if I come back in July and you go to your house and you're still on January, I'm going to charge you $6. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, cast in her minds what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Look down at verse 46. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty away. He hath opened the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The Lord, I'm sure, will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Years ago, we were living out in northwestern Kansas, and we had some folks out there who were living on the farm. Mabel's sister married a fellow out there, and they have a farm out northwest of the town in which we were living. And just a little farther north from where they live, there's a fellow who had his own farm, and her brother-in-law would go out there and work for this gentleman on his farm from time to time. And he was telling me one day, he said, you know, Bob has some, he says he has these little engines that he starts up out there every day, and he says he'll run those things all day. And I say, why in the world are you running those engines? And he says, well, you know, I'm getting communication from outer space. He said, can't you hear it? And so of course you see a fellow like that, you naturally think he's elevated and go all the way to the top floor or something like this. But then you stop to think that, you know, there are institutions across the United States today that are training these high-powered receptors which can try to receive any kind of transmissions from outer space that we can interpret. And what are we going to say if anybody ever communicates with us? Come on down. Who knows? But the point is, man is trying to find a communication from outer space. and there's already been one. And there's a very important one, a very vital one. And this opening chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel gives us some of the communication which God has given to this world. And of course, we noted this morning how Luke has taken time to sit down and to lay out truths in an orderly fashion, and he is doing documentary work, if you will. That these things which are being said are not just some kind of an idea which came into a person, this various individual's minds, but they are things which God has been careful to document. And there's some things in this passage that we read tonight that are very pertinent as far as documentation is concerned. You'll notice it says to us here in verse 26, there's this angel, Gabriel, which was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The exactness of this. You remember in John chapter 1, there's this story or the statement concerning John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We talked about him this morning. Sent from God, a man sent from God. Here's an angel sent from God. Here's messages that have come to this world from God himself. And it behooves us that we should pay very careful attention to these. It's to Galilee. It's to Nazareth. It is to a virgin that is betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph. And so this is this dispatch that has come from heaven, and the greeting is in verse 28. The angel came in and says, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." What an announcement. Here is a singular statement, a singular individual. This is not an announcement that could be made to all women or to any man. And so that is in the context that we have it here. And so consequently it is a singular message to this individual, how God is addressing a message right to them, right to her. But of course in a very real sense, we who know the Lord can say we are highly favored as well. And we have been blessed. And so consequently, here there is this message which has come to her from God, and she is troubled about it. And so in verse 30, he tells her, the angel says, "Fear not, because you have found favor with God." Favor with God. If you work in some institution, or if you work with some company, and you ever find yourself in a position that you can say, "Well, I have found favor with the boss," you've done well. You've done well. But to be able to say that I have found favor with God, what a tremendous statement is, what a tremendous commendation. And then there is this announcement that in verse 31 that you are going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, you're going to call his name Jesus. When the angel speaks to Joseph about it and tells him, "You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What a great mission this one is going to accomplish that is going to be born at this particular time. And that Luke is saying, this is the way that these things occurred. And then he gives a challenge. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now this is what the Jews have been looking for. They have been looking for this one who was going to come, who was going to be born, who was going to be able to inherit the throne of his father David, who would be of the house and the lineage of David. It is no accident that these things occurred in the manner in which they did. God had established it. God had declared to David in the Old Testament that he was going to establish his throne forever. And he said, "If your sons If they come along and if they walk in obedience to my will and to my commandments, they will inherit this throne and their lineage will continue forever as well. And you remember God made a promise to Abraham, and the promises that he made to him in the book of Genesis concerning this, the blessing that this kingdom is going to be established, and it's going to be, and this is going to be an eternal kingdom. And of course, Abraham looked back, and he said, if you look back at the children of Israel today, you look back at the throne of David today, there is no throne of David in existence on the face of this earth. It is not there. So the promise has not been fulfilled, but the person through which the promise is going to be fulfilled has already come into existence. And that's the person of the Son of God. And so this one that is going to be born is going to be, he's going to be this favored one. He shall be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High, the High Exalted One. And he's going to have this throne of his father. And verse 33 says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is the eternal character of this rulership which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to establish and maintain here upon the earth. But notice in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She asked the question, how? You remember back up in the previous verses, in verse 27, he says, this angel came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And there are those who know a little bit of Greek and who will say to you, that word virgin could be translated young woman. Does not necessarily have to be virgin. But do you see how carefully the Spirit of God has guarded this truth? She says, I know not a man. So it is the testimony here of herself and to God himself through this angel. And so the question of the virgin birth of Christ is undeniably verified with her question, actually. And so if there are those who come along and they want to question the word in verse 27, then you bring them down to this verse and say, here is where it is authenticated. And so she asked the question, how can this be? Then the angel answers how it can be, verse 35. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It is going to be a miraculous birth. It's going to be a birth under the power of the Spirit of God. It is going to be a work which God himself is going to effect in your life and in your person. And God is going to work, and he is going to bring this to pass. The only part that you will play, actually, he doesn't say this, but the only part that she will play, she's going to be this vehicle through which God himself is going to be able to work in such a marvelous way. And so there is this, and he gives an assurance to her in verses 36 and 37 of how that her cousin Elizabeth has conceived. And then you notice in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Here is a woman that is faced with one of the greatest challenges, verbal challenges, that you will ever read of in the Scriptures. And she is face to face with what is physically an impossibility. Now she has to do, you remember Zacharias, when he was faced with it, he kind of hesitated for a while. But now you see, she is being given the instruction, or she is directions actually. And so, what is her response? Immediately, you notice what it says: "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. The handmaid of the Lord. This is a remarkable statement. It's a remarkable statement for anyone to make to God, or anyone to make before God. But it is a statement which all of us should be willing to make. Behold the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. I will serve the Lord. I am willing to be the servant of God. I am willing to be used of God in any way whatsoever that He chooses for me to be used. If this is the will of God for my life, I receive it. If this is what God wants for me, from me, He may have it. And I'm willing to receive what God is willing to bestow upon me. There was a tremendous amount of shame that was heaped upon Joseph and Mary because of the birth of this child. Someone has even suggested that's perhaps the reason why she had to go with him for the enrollment at the time when the child was born, because there was so much shame that was being heaped upon her because of the claim that this was a child that was going to be born of a virgin, that the only person perhaps that she actually felt comfortable with was Joseph. And so when he had to go to be enrolled, it was of necessity because of her own personal feelings and his personal feelings as well. In order for her to be comforted, she had to be with him. Now that's conjecture, I understand that. But we do understand too that there was a lot of shame that was heaped upon her personally, because there were those who said to him, the Lord Jesus, as in his manhood, "We be not born of fornication." Their implication was that he was. And so here she is. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Lord, I'm willing to take whatever comes. I am yours to be used in whatever way that you possibly can or will. "Be it according to your word." According to your word. Whatever you say. This is total surrender, isn't it? I'm willing to yield my life totally, unconditionally, to the will of God. Are you willing to allow God to make the choices in your life? Am I willing to allow God to make the choices in my life? Whatever. She takes her hands off these things. "Be it according to me, be it unto me according to thy word." I am simply yielded totally, wholly to your will. Whatever you bring to me, and whatever the consequences are, I am willing to surrender to that. Oh, we like to have options, don't we? We like to have our input. God's choice may not be exactly what I want, or the choice which God makes may not be exactly what I'm willing to yield to. Not so with Mary. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm willing to take my hands totally off my life, off my circumstances, off my influence, off what people say about me, and all these things, and allow whatever you choose for my life to be that which will be acceptable unto me. And so the angel departed. What else could he say? What else did he need to say? Her response. And then you get on to later on, and of course, there you go to this magnificent declaration which Mary makes, beginning about verse 46. There she has talked with Elizabeth in between times, and so she's had this encounter with him. Then you go down to the end of the conversation in verse 25, and then Mary begins to speak in verse 46. And someone has checked this out, and I'm simply quoting someone else's research on this. I read where there are 15 discernible Old Testament quotations in these words which Mary speaks at this point. 15 discernible Old Testament quotations. Now, when you stop and think and consider the fact that Mary didn't have a Bible, she didn't have a Bible, and her husband wasn't a priest, and yet she can give 15 quotations from the Old Testament that are in direct relation to the event which is being talked about by this angel at this time and the events which are taking place. May I probe you just a little bit? How many quotations from the Scripture could you give today that are in direct relation to your circumstances? How many, if can you, could you, I don't mean we're not going to have a display tonight, and this is not the idea. I'm just wanting to probe your mind just a little bit. If you were chose to do it, and you were going ready to say something in relation to your life, an event in your life, or your whole life, or some particular circumstance, whatever it is, how many quotations from the Word of God could you give which would bear directly upon your circumstances? I'm probing my own mind whenever I just say that to you. And I'm not saying it, I'm not speaking this in any accusatory fashion whatsoever. I'm amazed that this woman could make such a citation as this of all these quotations from the Old Testament, which would bear directly upon her circumstances. It's an amazing thing. And so what does she talk about? Verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord. These watchtower people will tell you that man doesn't have a soul. Oh yeah, they say, man doesn't have a soul. Wonder what Mary was talking about here. My soul doth magnify the Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord is on his face before God. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And David, time after time, he would call on, speak to his soul to rejoice in the Lord. wonder what those folks were talking about if man doesn't have a soul. And here she is. She's exalting. She talks about herself. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse 48. She speaks of her humility. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. The humility. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. That's all. Just to do what he tells me to do. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, not the blesser. There's a whole religious group claims Mary is the blesser, that you can pray to Mary and she can get you a blessing from God. No, she says people will call me blessed, not the blesser. Verse 49, he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. My mighty one. My soul, my spirit, my humility, and my mighty one. Then she turns her attention and talks about him. Verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy. God is a God of great mercy. Verse 51, she talks about his strength. He hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He is one, he is the strong one, he is the mighty one, he is the one who can scatter the proud and cause men to be brought to naught, to absolutely nothing. The greatest of men upon the face of this earth can be brought down to where he's flat of his back with some little old bug that's so small you can't see him with your eye. Knock you flat. You think you're tough? Well, God, he says, God is able to scatter the proud within the imagination of their hearts. He tells us, she says in verse 52, there are those that have been brought down and there are those that have been exalted. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. We find out in our political strata, in our society, how easily one can be put down from a mighty seat by simply making one particular statement, which is not kosher, if you will, any longer. Man be brought down over a word or an expression or a sentence. Says God can bring down the mighty too. God has ways of bringing mighty men down. And he is also able to exalt them of low degree. Here is a woman who was low in life, and had it not been for her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, chances are we would have never heard of her. And the only thing that's worth mentioning about us is our relationship to the Lord. That's all. That's all that we've got that really counts for eternity. What we have in Christ. Because everything else is... it's by the grace of God, by the goodness of God. If you got good health, it's the goodness of God. If you got a good mind, it's the goodness of God. If you got a good job, that's the goodness of God. And so verse 53 says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. You remember when you came to the Christ? He filled your hungry soul. The psalmist says he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's only God that can fill our hungry souls. Only God can do that. And when we come to God, and when we come to Him through Christ, we come to Him as beggars. We come with nothing in our hands that can satisfy us. He satisfieth the longing soul. And those, He says, the rich He hath sent away empty, those that are so filled and have so much till they have no need before God, God has nothing to give them, and they go away empty. We come to God with our hands empty. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And then she says, He has helped Israel. Verse 54. He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. God is at work. God is going to do something. He is doing something. He is coming into this world in the person of His Son. There we are going to see God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There has been a message from heaven. God has sent His Son into this world, born of a virgin, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He didn't come into this world to give us Christmas carols to sing and give us manger scenes to enjoy and all of these other things which take a tremendous amount of our time and our energy in the month of December. I trust that we have been able to look beyond that, and that we have been able to see that God is at work. God was doing something. He was moving on the scene. He has provided a Savior for this world. And this one who came went to that cross, and on that cross He paid for our sins. And because of what He has done for us and what He has done on that cross, the gospel goes out that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. What a message. What a momentous event. And Mary, the human instrument that God used to bring this child into this world, who would be the Savior, who would be this Redeemer, who would be this one who would do a satisfactory, completely satisfactory work for God, and complete a work of salvation that we can be that we are the recipients of tonight. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Be it unto me according to your word. Total surrender. Her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, later would say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Is your life yielded to Christ? Are you in a position tonight to say to Him, "Not my will, but thine be done. Be it unto me according to your word. And my soul will magnify the Lord. If you're here without Christ, you should turn to him and receive him. Receive this one, this glorious one, this great one, this one who is destined to rule not over, only over this earth, but he is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords, reigning through all the whole universe. And we are going to reign with him, we who know him. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful this evening for your word. We recognize, our Father, that there's some tremendous truths that we have before our hearts this evening. There's a tremendous person, thy Son, the Lord Jesus, who has come. It's a tremendous gift, the greatest gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. A tremendous act of mercy and love. It's according to his mercy has saved us. So we thank thee for all of these things.